WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer flying home early from a meeting of European leaders in Ukraine following an attack at a synagogue in the city of Manchester. Police say four people were injured after someone drove a car into a crowd, stabbed at least one man as well. It happened on Yom Kippur. The attacker shot by police. The mayor of Greater Manchester says the immediate danger appears to be over. The government is still shut down. ABC's Nicole D'Antonio is in Washington.
With no end in sight to the government shutdown, the Trump administration is warning it could begin firing federal workers as soon as today. The shutdown could leave more than 750,000 federal employees furloughed and more than 2 million military service members without a paycheck.
An Idaho judge is blocking the release of some graphic photos taken by investigators after Brian Kohberger killed four University of Idaho students in 2022. The judge said other documents will be released. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Three people died in a fiery crash Saturday morning. Around 10:35, the Sauk County Communications Center received a call for a single-vehicle traffic accident on Coon Bluff Road, just north of County Highway P in Delona Township. Preliminary reports indicated that a vehicle was northbound on Coon Bluff Road at a high rate of speed, lost control, and entered a wooded area. The vehicle immediately started on fire. During the investigation, it was discovered there were three occupants in the vehicle. All three subjects sustained fatal injuries. Names of the deceased are being withheld at this time. Wisconsin students got a very special history lesson on Monday at Madison's Forest Hill Cemetery. Wisconsin Veterans Museum Education Director Eric Wright says the Talking Spirits Tour brought four living history actors to help educate students on the lives of soldiers during and after World War II. Wright says bringing in the actors to share these stories is much more impactful than simply reading facts at a grave marker. Some of the stops on the tour include a Madison doctor who survived the Battle of Buffalo Wallow in the Philippines during the Pacific Campaign, and a Fond du Lac soldier who was rescued from a German POW camp. Battery charges have been upgraded to homicide charges after the victim of an attack outside Camp Randall Stadium died. 33-year-old Keith Jones was arrested last weekend on initial charges of aggravated battery and robbery. Jones allegedly assaulted and seriously injured another person in the Southside parking lot early in the morning, September 20th. The victim in the attack died last week, and UW-Madison police have sent upgraded first-degree homicide charges to the Dane County District Attorney's Office. Jones is still in jail on a probation hold. The victim has not been identified. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
New faces on the Bucks roster. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA head coach Doc Rivers revealed that when he first arrived in Milwaukee, he told GM John Horst straight up the Bucks roster was too old and too slow.
John knew, we talked about it. I felt strongly that it's hard to win at the pace that we were trying to play at. We still won games and we were good, but, you know, I just felt strongly that we need more speed. We need more guys that can guard multiple positions.
The Bucks training camp now underway. College football. Wisconsin faces number 20th ranked Michigan. Kickoff 11 a.m. Saturday. Badgers quarterback Danny O'Neill has already been sacked 13 times so far in just the first four games of this season. That's one more than the 12 sacks they allowed all last year.
Maybe changing up what we do pre-snap a little bit, trying to simplify some things. We know what we're going to see. We just got to be able to go translate it from the film room to the field and from practice to the game.
That's Badgers quarterback Danny O'Neill with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for Matt Mayer on air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
This sunny, hot, summery weather is going to continue for a few more days. We are going to start to feel a little more like fall next week. But today, sunshine, we're talking highs back in the mid-80s this afternoon. Tonight, clear with a low in the upper 50s to low 60s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the mid to upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 54.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh, my goodness, a powerful run to the house.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a the safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. The Badgers are in the Big House to battle Michigan. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 107.7 FM, 1450 AM, WRCE.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Heather Williams, she's president of the Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee.
We have our spotlight races. We share them on our website. You can head to dlcc.org. And they are excellent places for people who want to get involved. And frankly, who know that we are not going to win this election on vibes. Like, we have to get out and do the work. And we must communicate with our neighbors, with our community. We must show up for people. Not only do they deserve it, but they expect it.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the endless wheel of litigation. Which Trump-related case are we going to talk about? Jim Santel, friend, colleague, host of Amicus, the Law Review, joins us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from Music City in Nashville, an odd place for a guy with no musical talent to be, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Very well done. Very nice. Congratulations. That was your best live open yet.
Ah, thank you.
Wait, it was your first one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's okay. Well,
thanks, Pat.
We'll work on it. As
we got two more to go, at least.
Yeah. Thanks for the audition. You gave it your best. hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on another beautiful day to have you here. This time, not so much up north as on the road. It's a Thursday morning, October 2nd, 2025. And we appreciate you being here all across the Civic Media Radio Network and wherever you're joining us, either on the radio or through podcasts or YouTube, Facebook, however you got here. Nice to have you along. I got a question for you. If anybody knows anybody that can write a bill once the government's open again, can we make a law about airplane seats? I mean, I get that I'm not, you know, svelte size zero, but even for somebody who is like Parker over here, Parker Olson producing this shindig here, the airplane seats are officially ridiculous now.
Uh-oh.
I mean, it just feels like they're not even trying anymore. It's just like, yeah, we know we got you. You're cattle. Get in.
Jeez.
Which was the case last night. But anyway, good people.
Yeah.
You know, there weren't any, no travel nightmares.
That's good. I was worried you were going to get delayed for until now. And you were going to do this live from the Nashville airport.
Yeah.
Or something.
Oh, well, yeah, exactly. Let's see. What do we got here on Tony from YouTube? No musical talent. I've heard rumors of his excellent recorder ability from his elementary school days. That's debatable. And a high five Parker from Roger for the live intro. So there you go.
Well,
so we got all that going for us here. So anyway, so yeah, we're here for a couple of days and kind of doing our annual pre-winter tour of the daughters because traveling in the middle of winter is no fun. So we try to see them on either side of things when we've got to get going out and about, which means I didn't get to watch any of the baseball yesterday. And so if you're wondering, do the Brewers know who they're facing yet?
No.
The answer is no. No, they do not, because the Padres were able to beat the Cubs, blank them yesterday, 3-0. So that series is tied at one game apiece. Cleveland beat Detroit to tie that series at one game apiece. The Yankees defeated Boston to tie that series at one game apiece. The only one that wasn't in doubt, the Dodgers once again walloped Cincinnati 8-4. So thanks to the Reds for trying so hard to get that wild card spot.
But thanks to the Reds for making sure the Mets didn't get in the playoffs.
There is always that.
Because that's what mattered to me.
It is. It makes it for a long winter in New York, which is just fine for the Mets fans. So anyway, the Dodgers will move on and take on the Philadelphia Phillies. And meanwhile, Tony says Cleveland really proved the doubters like Pat wrong yesterday with that huge 6-1 win. All right. Easy, Tony. Easy. Nobody, nobody was doubting. Well, what we were doing, the only thing we were doing is we were rooting for a three-game series with the Padres and the Cubs. So that they wear out their pitching staffs, you know?
Well, so, we were also rooting. I don't know about you. I am rooting for the Red Sox to beat the Yankees. Because if the Yankees win that series, that means the Brewers play at 1 o'clock on Saturday. And if the Red Sox win that series, it means that the Brewers play at 8 o'clock on Saturday. And for me, 8 o'clock is a significantly better time.
That's a wild swing.
Isn't it?
Times there. Yes. So give me that again. So I know who we're rooting for here. So the Red Sox Yankees, they have their third and deciding game this evening at 7 o'clock. And so how does this break down?
If the Red Sox win, the Brewers would play at 8 o'clock on Saturday.
Against the winner of the Padres.
Against
Cubs.
Padres. Yeah. Okay. If the Yankees win, the Brewers would play at 1 o'clock on Saturday.
Interesting.
My favorite thing about this whole thing is it really is MLB just saying we only care about the two biggest market teams there are.
Pretty much. Yeah, it is.
They decide all.
It all is. It's always about the TV. It's always about the money. And we're just along for the ride. You know, that's why we're paying that much as we are for, you know, our cable bill,
to be able
for
to see
tickets,
it.
You know. Even what you're paying for beer is higher than it needs to be. Somebody's got to pay for all those commercials.
That's true.
And that's the sports world that we live in here. But anyway, so we've now managed to bring ourselves fully into October here. I'm very excited to see what things will look like when we get back, because by that time we should really start to see the leaves turning or falling. I don't know. I may get back and find that, you know, the leaves are 3 feet deep, you know, by the time we get there. So we will see. But we are looking ahead to the weekend already. And so Sharita Booker is going to be along in less than 10 minutes and telling us about some of the events that are going to be going on this weekend. Do they include anything for you, Mr. Olson? Are you making plans yet?
The plans for this weekend are why I am rooting for the Red Sox, actually. Because I would desperately love to not be at a Whitewater game while monitoring a Brewer game on my phone.
Oh, that would make it tough. So it's Whitewater football again.
Whitewater football on Saturday afternoon. We've got game against La Crosse. It's Family Fest Day for the students, which means that there will probably be like 20,000 people in the stadium.
Oh, yes.
Which might be. Okay, you know what? I'm going to say it, Pat.
All right, go ahead.
I think they're fudging their numbers. I don't think that they actually get 20,000 people there.
Well, I mean, somebody's got to have that little clicker in their hand and getting them. I mean, you probably get carpal tunnel by about the 15,000th click on there, but
yeah.
Somebody's got to track these
things.
I don't know,
man. Right.
So are you looking forward to the environment of having that many people around, or are you wishing that there were like seven people there and you had the city to yourself?
That many people around is awesome. City to myself is what the first 4 years of college was, Pat. That's what Whitewater is. You have the city to yourself. There's not a whole lot.
Well, unless you become national champions in a sport, you know, like baseball or something, everybody wants to be there. Roger says it's all about the Yankees.
True.
And let's see. He also says WIAC football conference openers are this weekend.
True.
So that makes sense.
Three really.
Tony on YouTube says, in general, it's always best practice to root against the Yankees. Well, yeah, that's kind of a given.
That's usually true.
I can go along with that. So that's where we stand heading into the weekend. And of course, the Packers have a bye weekend. So once again, it's one of the best weekends of the year for getting all that fall maintenance done, because you don't have that excuse. All over the place, their homeowners going, oh, okay, I guess I got to do this if I got to. So. It's not like we're doing much else in terms of, you know, things that require a government service, since the things are still shut down. And I will admit, I was really nervous about traveling last night.
Yeah.
And I know that at some point, if this goes on based on, you know, previous shutdowns, you will start to see flight delays as they start furloughing people, or if they don't furlough them, you know, if they're already short staffed and they're looking for people to work extra shifts, and people are going to say, no, because you're not paying me, because people are doing all kinds of work today all around the government the essential workers, and they will not have a paycheck coming in at the end of the week. And you and I wouldn't go for that. Parker, if we said that there will not be a paycheck waiting for you at the end of the week, what would you do?
You think I'm waking up at 4 o'clock for free?
I imagine you putting your headphones down and just walking away at that news. Yes. So, and that's what we're facing right now. And frankly, you know, the shutdown is not, you know, it's not making anybody happy except for the people who caused it, obviously. And if you're the president of the United States, well, first off, you don't care about polls. Okay. You care about ratings. And obviously Trump knows how to get ratings, but there's a new Marquette poll out. It's a national survey. This one's not a Wisconsin survey, but a national survey that shows that the president's overall job performance stands at 43%. I mean, it's just continuing to fall. Disapproval rating at 57%. Approval still remains strong among Republicans, 81%. Although, again, 81% approval among Republicans that's 8 percentage points lower than it was in January. And it means that about 1 in 5 Republicans now disapprove of Trump's job performance. Now, the approval varies all across individual issues, according to the write-up of this poll from Anna Kleiber at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. His highest approval is for handling border security. But then there are other issues like, handling the Jeffrey Epstein case, where he's only got a 28% approval rating. Seems to me the kind of thing that maybe you would look for a distraction if that's the kind of thing that's happening out there. Let's see. Want to get in a text comment on the line here from Jim in Brookfield, who says, "Good morning, Pat. That was a nice intro by Parker, but hopefully you'll still keep Don, Don Rue, who does the regular intro. Yes. I'm curious as to who wrote the nice music to the opening, which is a perfect melody for a morning show." Well, thank you, Jim in Brookfield, for that. And the answer to who wrote that nice melody to open up the show is we don't know. It's a long.
I suppose you could
actually find the composer of
our
generic music library. It's not anybody that you would know, I guess, is what we're trying to say here.
That's true.
Yeah,
it's not a local artist, if you were hoping for that. I'm very sorry to break that news to you.
Which would be really nice. We'd be very happy to put on the music of local artists.
Oh, yeah, that'd be awesome.
Wisconsin. We'd do that for the same reason that we do the music library. It's really expensive to go with music that you've actually heard of here. Radio stations do pay for a music license, and we can use whatever music we want on the radio. But if we want to stream the show as well as we do on Facebook and YouTube, you just get these messages all the time from Facebook and YouTube saying, "Oh, you're using copyrighted music, and we're going to have to mute your stream, or we're going to count this against you and maybe suspend your account." And we just, you know, you can always appeal it and say, "Hey, guys, we're a radio station. We have permission." But, yeah, you know, you can never talk to a human. It's always about the bots.
Yeah.
And I just got tired of fighting the bots. We're like, yeah, let's just use a production library. And that's, you know, music that we can use. And but again, if you know somebody that's in a local band and they want to, you know, highlight some of their music, we would totally take that with their permission.
Yeah. Nothing against the wonderful song called "I Found the Trumpet" by Benjamin James Parsons, who wrote our intro.
That would be it. "I Found the Trumpet" is the name of the tune.
There you go.
And as you listen to the production library, I'm thinking, that is such an interesting gig, because there are people who are always working to create the next big top 40 hit, you know, or just the next big hit in any of the genres.
Yeah.
And then there's other people that are like, you know, what's the next great background music? Yeah.
Here's stock music.
Yeah. Well, think about that when you're hearing the commercial break coming up here is, you know, there's these music beds underneath, and it is somebody's job to come up with just the right sound for any given commercial or any given promotion at any given point.
And it's very hard to find that right sound.
Yes, it is. Trust me. You have to play a lot of clips just to find the one good one that you're going to hear coming up underneath me. As I say, coming up next, we're going to talk to Up North News social media manager, Sharita Booker, about some of the events happening around Wisconsin this weekend. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. Thanks for joining us all across the Civic Media Radio Network. Bring up that trumpet. It'll be along in a second, trust me. There it is.
News from the center, WRCE.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
Seems like nobody in America agrees on much of anything these days.
But can we agree the federal government shouldn't tax people into poverty?
If you work full-time, you should be able to afford your basic needs. Don't you think? We're the Patriotic Millionaires.
We believe your full-time job should cover what it costs to live. We think your first $45,000 of income should be tax-free.
And multimillionaires?
We should pay more to fund your tax cut. Go to first45taxfree.com to learn more. A working-class tax cut paid for by millionaires. That's an idea we can all agree on.
Step right up. Circus history is alive in Wisconsin.
The circus would come to town and whole cities would shut down. There wouldn't be school. The stores would be closed because everybody would go to the circus.
A big part of the circus, the wagons. And now what's believed to be the last bell wagon anywhere is at Circus World in Baraboo. Commissioned by the Ringlings in 1892, this 10,000-pound rolling musical instrument was the crown jewel of the circus parades.
There's parade wagons. Circus parades would have happen to get people excited to come see the circus, and so those are the very ornamented ones, lots of carving.
That's Jennifer Kronk. She's the curator of history at Circus World. Three other unique wagons owned by Felt Entertainment in Florida are also on loan for the next couple of years. It's a slice of Wisconsin and circus history right here, where you can relive the glory of the parade and echo of the bells calling you to the big top. I'm Terry Barr.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Back now, and Sherita Booker is here, social media manager for Up North News, and so she's putting up various stories that we work on, and sometimes, you know, talking about the events that happen around Wisconsin, and that's what we're doing here, to talk about things that you might be able to do this weekend on a little road trip near or far. Sherita, how's it going?
Good, pal. How are you?
Doing all right, thanks. Let's look at things that are happening this weekend. And one of them, frankly, is already going on because it is such a big deal. It is, of course, the World Dairy Expo, and continues on this week. So tell us some of the things folks can look forward to.
Yeah, that kicked off Tuesday and it'll run through tomorrow. And that is at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison. And the event draws tens of thousands of attendees from across the U.S. and around the world, featuring top cattle competitions, education sessions, networking for dairy producers, and over 400 companies displaying dairy equipment, genetics, feeds, veterinary supplies, milking systems, tech innovations, and more. And of course, there will be food. Some of that lineup includes the Grilled Cheese Headquarters that's serving up plastic melts and specialty grilled cheeses. The Wisconsin Cattlemen's booth will have ribeye steak sandwiches, shaved beef roast, and jumbo beef hot dogs. And it wouldn't be a dairy expo in Wisconsin without cheese curds, cheddar nuggets, and jalapeno cheddar bites. Admission starts at $20 per day, and children 12 and under are free. So for tickets and more info, visit worlddairyexpo.com.
worlddairyexpo.com. And yeah, it's a very detailed schedule that they have here. And it is just kind of like the, you know, the World Series of dairy products, and some places already have been bragging about their awards this week already. So if you're in the Madison area, go check that out. If you're closer to the northeastern part of the state and can get out to Manitowoc, some folks are already planning Halloween events, and there's one going in Manitowoc this weekend. It looks to be, is that Saturday only, it looks like?
Yes.
Okay.
Suffer One Night Only. Nightmare off 8th Street is taking over Manitowoc's Buffalo Street just Saturday from 3 to 10 p.m. and entry is totally free. The brand new Halloween Street Festival will be packed with live music, food trucks, local makers and artists, and fall fun in the heart of downtown. Some of the food truck lineup includes Paul Smokes Smokehouse and Barbecue, El Tequila Manitowoc, TR Bubble Tea, Sweet Escapes, Views, Thai Street Food, and Holy Moly Cannoli. This is a family-friendly event, so bring the kids out for face painting, balloon twisting, a dual-lane slide bounce house, live pumpkin carving, fun photo ops, and free treat bags for the kids while supplies last. And for more information, visit nightmareoff8thstreet.com.
I like that. Instead of Nightmare on Elm Street, it's Nightmare off 8th Street, which is kind of in the area there. Do you get into Halloween-related events?
I love Halloween. And on the last Saturday of every October, we have like a block party in my neighborhood. So it's at nighttime and everybody's giving out shots for the adults. The kids are having a blast, music going, and it's crazy over here.
Great. No, that sounds like a lot of fun. Good deal. And we're going to wrap up up north, way up north in Bayfield. And if you've never been to the Bayfield Apple Festival, if you ever get the chance on this first weekend of October, I mean, do yourself a favor and go. The weather's usually gorgeous and there's so much to do. Tell folks more about it, Sharita.
Yep. And this is their 63rd annual Apple Festival. And that's happening Friday through Sunday. And the 3 days will be full of good food, live music, carnival rides, and of course, plenty of apples. You can pick your own at one of Bayfield's orchards or grab a bag to take home. There's a full schedule of events this weekend. From Friday, the mayor will officially proclaim it Apple Festival weekend in Bayfield. On Saturday, things kick off with the Pipes and Drums of Thunder Bay performing at 10 a.m. over at Port Superior Marina. The Fireman's Fish Fry is at 11 a.m., and that supports local first responders. You can also try your hand at the apple peeling contest at 1 p.m. and see if you can beat the record for the longest peel. Then on Sunday, the festival wraps up with the Grand Parade at 2 p.m. downtown. The Pipes and Drums Band will be back for that one, too. And for the full schedule, visit bayfield.org/apple-festival.
All right. And again, I've been in the parade before up there. It's a long and packed route. A lot of folks up there. It's a great chance for them to get away. And again, folks would really enjoy that. I know I passed by Warren's last weekend. A lot of folks there for the Cranberry Festival there. I think Stone Lakes is this weekend as well, if I'm not mistaken. So that's going to be another crowded place in Northwest Wisconsin, but good crowds, good food, lots of vendors, lots to do. And Sharita Booker gives us all the details on these events every single weekend at this time. So Sharita, hope your weekend is nice, fun. Is it going to be fun or relaxing?
Relaxing, just how I like it.
Okay. I vote for relaxing too. All right, Sharita, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Pat.
Let me see, double check things here. And yes, indeed, the Stone Lake Cranberry Festival is this weekend. Let's see, honorable mention to some of the other things. Phillips Fall Harvest Festival is going on, Autumn Fest in Broadhead. It's Crafttoberfest in Green Bay. That would be your craft beers are going to be celebrated Saturday at the Resch Center. Galesville has their Apple Affair, and Monroe has the Happy Harvest Fest. Who wouldn't want to go to a Happy Harvest Fest?
Somebody who wants to be upset about the harvest, Pat.
Yeah, no, you have to be happy about these things. Like Tony, who's up there in the Ashland Bayfield area, and he's very excited for the Apple Festival up in Bayfield. Like I said, always a good time there. So, and I liked when Sharita mentioned like the apple peeling part, where do you ever get going on peeling an apple and you realize, hey, this is I'm really getting something good here, and you want to show somebody, nobody really cares. But now we have a contest dedicated to it. If you think you can peel an entire apple in one sitting, this is the place for you.
I had never thought of it, but now I'm really interested in how well I would do in that.
Oh, really? You haven't done that before?
I just had never thought of it, I guess.
Oh, okay. No. See, every so I get the in return for peeling all of the apples, Sherry makes apple crisp and applesauce and all of that stuff. So I might have to enter this contest just to see how things go.
Come back up.
Yes, exactly. All right. Coming up in just a bit here, we are going to have today's history lesson, including a little ditty about Jack and Diane from one Johnny Cougar, and much more all ahead. Oh, Tony says, this is a talent. You can't just do it. All right. Work on your apple peelings, folks, during the break. We'll be back. I'm Pat Kreitlum.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
World Dairy Expo truly is Wisconsin's time to shine as America's Dairyland. It's the meeting place for the global dairy industry. The State Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection also gets involved as it welcomes international delegates to the state to further relationships between dairy sectors. I'm Stephanie Hoff, along with you here on the Midwest Farm Report. We're checking in with DATCAP Secretary Randy Romanski after the break.
As the weather changes, it can start to impact feed quality. Don't let your cows become the victims of the ration roller coaster. Adding Generator Elite to your herd's ration can introduce beneficial microbials that support gut health and help the herd navigate the highs and lows of feed quality, all while using less than an ounce per day per cow. Learn more about Generator Elite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection Secretary Randy Romanski tells us about the international connections made here in Wisconsin at World Dairy Expo.
We had five groups come into DATCAP yesterday from Central Asia, Turkey, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, Armenia. Five groups in yesterday. Morocco is going to be here this week, which is great. We actually did a trade mission to Morocco from DATCAP, and as a result of that, established some communication, some relationships, invited people here, and they're going to be here. And that's very exciting that we see that kind of turnaround. But there are always delegations here from Central and South America, Southeast Asia delegations will be coming through, all with a great way of showcasing Wisconsin dairy and making those connections for Wisconsin farmers and businesses.
Secretary Randy Romanski along with us. I've got more agribusiness news on the way.
There's only one silage brand that's been raising the bar for over 30 years. There's only one silage seed lineup that's been designed, selected, and tested for optimal performance in Midwestern soils and conditions, and enjoyed by millions of cows across the region. You might be hearing about a lot of newcomers who promise more milk per ton and more tonnage per acre, but there's only one you should trust. Dairyland Seed High DF. Discover the High DF difference at DairylandSeedSilage.com.
Wisconsin really took the cake during the international Guernsey shows at World Dairy Expo. Cadence Farms Lovely was the winning six-year-old and older cow. She was named grand champion and senior champion of the international Guernsey show. Lovely belongs to Cadence Farms of New Glarus. In the international junior Guernsey show, New Glarus was in the spotlight again as natives Brittany Taylor and Layla Schuler exhibited the grand champion and intermediate champion Donnybrook Ammo Stevie, the top of the senior three-year-old cow class. From World Dairy Expo at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home of the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
This sunny, hot, summery weather is going to continue for a few more days. We are going to start to feel a little more like fall next week. But today, sunshine, we're talking highs back in the mid-80s this afternoon. Tonight, clear with a low in the upper 50s to low 60s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the mid to upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Chicago-based comedian Vince Moranto, who will make the popcorn pick of the week and tell us about an upcoming Wisconsin date. And my pal Madison-based film critic Rob Thomas.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Little Diddy. About Jack and Diane, two American kids growing up in the heartland.
Welcome back. It is 6:35 now, and Pat Quitelow, Parker Olson here. Parker's back at Madison Studio A2, and I'm on the road this week. I've managed to swing over closer to the hotel window here to let in some natural light, and I just wonder if the people at the condos across the way are like, what is going on over there with the lights and the computers and everything else? But if they only could know to tune in, they would know the Jack and Diane. That little ditty about kids growing up in the heartland was the number one song this day in 1982. It would be John Cougar Mellencamp's only number one hit on the Hot 100. He was Johnny Cougar at the time that this was out. And then shortly afterwards, he was like, this is stupid. I want to use my real name again.
What, he wasn't a fan of Johnny Cougar?
I know. No, he was not. Roger notes on Facebook that Jack and Diane was the only number one single on Riva Records. Roger, I don't know how you knew that, but you, of course, I had to go look that up now because you put that on there. And Riva Records was a short-lived British label created for Rod Stewart by Rod Stewart's manager. It had signed John Cougar Mellencamp. And then when they, Rod Stewart and John Cougar left, the record label disappeared. And there you go, Roger. You kept that little piece of information all this time that I now got to share with a statewide audience. So.
I love having stupid little facts that are incredibly obscure. I love
it. That's really all we've got going for us here.
That's true.
On this program, stupid little facts. Like this one. Hey, coincidentally, talking about Rod Stewart, he and his group Faces had the number one song this day in 1971. Maggie May, the number one song this day 54 years ago. All right, let's go back to 60 years ago this week when the number one song was by the McCoys.
Hang on, stupid, stupid, hang on.
This is one of those great did you know things. First off, did you know the lead singer here is Rick Derringer, later on of rock and roll Hoochie Coo fame. But initially, he was with the McCoys. Oh, yeah, there he is. Hang on, Sloopy, Rick Derringer, who, by the way, when he did this, he's 17 years old. 17 years old, and he had the number one song 60 years ago today with Hang on, Sloopy. Happy 80th birthday to Don McLean, who, you know, every so often somebody writes that thing and you go, that's a really long song. I don't know if it's going to catch on with people. Don McLean's song caught on with people.
I started singing bye bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry.
Was watching on social media, you're like, is Parker singing along? Does Parker know this song from the early 70s?
I do know this song from the early 70s.
He does. See, that's the thing. Some of these songs, they have real staying power.
Yeah.
And American Pie certainly is one of them. On this date in 1967, Thurgood Marshall was sworn in as the first black U.S. Supreme Court justice. Happy birthday to Sting. Stingatola. Sting-a-ling-a-ding-dong. He was born Gordon Sumner this day in England, 1951, making him 74 years old today. Of course, he started with the Police, songs like this one that were big 44 years ago. This is from the Police album, their fourth album, Ghost in the Machine. It was the number one album this week in 1981. Yeah, it's King's birthday, and on his 30th birthday, he had a big hit album. Did you have that on your 30th birthday? I did not.
Parker
has a chance.
I have a hope. Know? Yeah.
Yeah. There's something. You can do something by your 30th birthday.
Maybe.
There is time. Yes. Let's see. This is the anniversary of the birth of the late Lolly Vegas. You may not have heard of Lolly Vegas, but you know the band if you know your classic rock, Redbone, and their big hit from 1974. So that's Lolly Vegas, who was the lead vocalist and guitarist for Redbone, born Candido Vasquez in California, and is one of the biggest ever Billboard acts with Native American heritage as part of Redbone. A lot of other birthdays here today, more than we can grab records for. There's Mike Rutherford of Genesis, who turned 75 today. There's Philip Oakey of the Human League, and he is 70 years old today. And then there's Tiffany. Remember Tiffany from the late 1980s? Tiffany Darwish is now 54 years old today. Remember the it wasn't a feud, but that Tiffany and Debbie Gibson were both of these teeny bopper pop stars that were on the charts at the same time. And let's see, but back to the Redbone song. Again, it's got staying power. In part, it helps if you get a movie soundtrack deal. And Alicia puts up on YouTube, the only reason I know the song is because of Guardians of the Galaxy. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
But it got chosen because it is a good song, and you know, it was simply going to get a whole new generation of fans thanks to being on that soundtrack. It's still one of the best soundtracks, the original Guardians of the Galaxy one.
I mean, yeah, that's what happens when you just pull a bunch of music.
No, you don't just pull a bunch of music. This is a carefully curated
playlist. I know. We've already talked about this today, but I'm saying, like, when you pull popular music,
it's going to
be better than probably composed stuff.
Yes, you could say that. Happy birthday to Robbie Neville. He is 66 today and had his hit back in 1986. Happy birthday to Kelly Ripa. She is 55 years old today. Is she still doing the morning show and with her husband now, right?
Who
was Kelly Ripa's husband? Because, you know, she was doing, it was live with Regis and Kathy Lee, and then Kathy Lee left, and it was Regis and Kelly Ripa. And then Kelly Ripa had, who was it, Michael Strahan, and now believe that Kelly Ripa's doing the show with her husband.
I think they're still doing it.
Yeah. What's his name? Mark Aragos?
Mark Consulos?
And more people watched. She's had that for a while. Yes, sir.
Sorry, there was something weird going on with your mic there.
Oh, okay.
The Nashville internet.
Yeah, well, let's keep in mind, yes, it's Nashville, but it's also Tennessee. This is Tennessee.
That's true. It's more Tennessee than it is.
It probably is. Yeah, exactly. Let's see. On the National Day calendar today, it is International Day of Nonviolence. This is Name Your Car Day. All right, we got to stop a pause on that one for a minute. Did we have this discussion a week or two ago about people who name their cars?
Did we? I don't remember
if we had it on the radio or off air, that there are people who do name their cars.
Yeah.
I didn't name my car, but I mean, my original car was a 73 Plymouth Fury. It was green. It was held together by rust and duct tape. And so, I mean, I referred to it as the green pile, but that's, you know, that's not a name. But yeah, there's other people. I believe it was Melissa Kay was telling us she named her car.
I don't remember this at all.
No, that's okay.
I don't know. It was, I did have a friend in high school,
you know,
who had a Chevy Cruze. She named it Tom. So it was Tom Cruise.
Okay. All right. That kind of makes sense. Thankfully, Tony is playing the role of our institutional memory and says it was a really long time ago that you and Greg had the conversation on naming cars. So there you go, Parker. You're off the hook. Thanks to Tony. remembering this show better than the host. And that's an important thing.
Thanks, Tony.
National Custodian Day is today. And again, talk about your essential workers who are underappreciated. And it was school custodian was actually the job that my dad kind of did in his retirement, or I guess semi-retirement, because he ended up taking a custodian job at an elementary school. And it was a great second career, I guess you could call it, because I mean all the kids just loved Mr. Jerry. Oh, Mr. Jerry this and Mr. Jerry that, and of course Mr. Jerry, being a lifetime member of the United States Army, had no problem drilling these kids and enforcing the rules. Okay, we're doing the tough love thing.
Yeah,
and so like if let's see, there was one time, now this was in Arizona, so he's not going to get in trouble here in Wisconsin. I think,
are we incriminating your dad?
Somebody's like, Mr. Jerry, somebody threw their boot up there, up on the roof of the school. Can you go up and get it? And yeah. Instead, he just like took the other boot from the kid and threw it up on the roof. It's like, well, now they match. And then eventually he went to go get it. And they always liked seeing him on the roof. And so finally he had to institute a rule that he was only going up to the roof once a week. So if you threw a ball up there, it was staying there until he felt like he was going to go get it.
Yeah,
there's a lot to be said for all the school staff, folks in the lunchroom, the administration and the office and everything, taking nothing away from teachers. But let's every so often give a shout out to those other folks who are around our kids every day and can have some kind of an influence. And I am very sure that Mr. Jerry did. On the school custodian day. This is also World Farm Animals Day. And I guess I need clarification, farm animals, moo and oink and gosh, you're really good for dinner. Or are we talking like the animals that help out around the farm, like your farm dogs and things like that?
This is a great question that I do not have the answer to at the moment.
Oh, that's okay. It's not required. What's required for you, as always at this point, is to give us a little entertainment or feature news to close out the segment. What do you got for us?
We do close out the segment. Kai Cenat. Do you know who that is, Pat? I bet you don't.
I'm sorry. Who?
Kai Cenat.
Kai Cenat.
Yes. He is a live streamer. He is incredibly popular.
If you say so.
He had LeBron James on his live stream the other day to cut his hair. Okay. This was a 30-day live stream, 24/7.
Wait, you're not saying LeBron was on for 24
No,
hours?
He came on just to cut his hair at the last little bit.
Okay, so all did he do 24 hours a day for 30 days on this live stream?
I am not entirely sure what the entire live stream. It usually is just watching videos, doing React stuff.
So it's a webcam, that's just always pointed at, at Kai Cenat.
Yes, but I'm not familiar enough with him to really know exactly what he does.
Well, you're familiar enough to bring it up, so I figured there must be something noteworthy about what he did for these
30 days. Playing some video games, stuff like that. I've seen these before. There have been people who have done this called subathons.
Yeah, they're on OnlyFans. It's not something we want to talk about on morning radio.
Wow, okay.
Different thing altogether? Okay.
Yes.
Did you see that Jimmy Kimmel and Stephen Colbert did a little show crossover?
Yes, I did that.
Uh-huh. I like that.
They had a little bit of a bonding moment comparing notes as how they got taken off the air.
Yes.
Yeah.
And who'd have thought that would be a common bond in society? But, welcome to Donald Trump's America here. So, yeah. And Jimmy Fallon did something in his monologue like, I'm not going to get in trouble doing that stuff. No, Jimmy, we know.
Yeah.
We know that you are not in danger of doing anything edgy political enough to get you in trouble. Some people really like that. Others got to go with Jimmy or Stephen Colbert. That is today's history segment, and we'll have much more coming up on these mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Back in a bit.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Tom Tiffany, the Republican congressman representing Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, has finally made it official. He's running for governor. The election for governor in 2026 is the state's first open race for the office since 2010, and it's sure to invite many candidates to run. And on the Republican side, Tiffany's is the most significant announcement yet. There's a very good chance that he is going to be the Republican nominee for governor at this time next year. If that proves to be the case, it would signify a major shift in the center of power for Republican politics in Wisconsin. For so long, it's been the WOW counties, Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington, three of the counties that surround Milwaukee, that have been the Republican stronghold in the state. But if Tiffany is the one on the top of the ticket, it will be the most clear indicator yet of how the party has shifted from more of a suburban one to one where GOP voters are more centered in exurban or rural areas.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Is violent crime in the U.S. higher than 25 years ago? No. Violent crime is lower nationally and in major cities than 25 years ago, according to FBI and Justice Department data. In 2023, cities with 250,000 or more people reported 771 violent crimes per 100,000 residents, down from 1,093 in 2000. Nationally, violent crime has stayed below 400 incidents per 100,000 residents for a decade, compared to about 500 in the late 1990s. Pew Research reported a 49% drop in violent crime, which includes murder, rape, robbery, and aggravated assault, since 1993. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Timeout!
All right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Powered by friendship, fun, and manager Murph's Pocket Pancakes, the Milwaukee Brewers have a new franchise regular season record of 97 wins. Congratulations.
Unreal.
Now it's on to the postseason.
The summer of Sal, maybe the fall of Freeland.
Catch all the action on your station for the Brewers in October. 107.7 FM, 1450 AM, WRCE.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Henricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
On the first part of our morning show today, we're going to talk about another thing going on in our area. We're packing in a lot of things going in to the weekend, and the Friendship Quilters Guild Quilt Show is scheduled for this weekend at Schmidt-Woodland Hills. And joining us is Cheryl Harris, who will be the featured quilter this weekend. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning. Great. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. It's nice to talk about this event. Mm-hmm. And how does it feel to be kind of the honored guest at the Quilters Guild?
Oh, it's really quite an honor. It was kind of unexpected, but it's like, okay, I could do this. And it's amazing. And I think the crowd will be really pleased with the quilts that are there to see.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, Cheryl?
I lived in Richland Center years ago, and I've moved back. I left Richland Center area back in 1995, and due to a divorce, and the kids are here, so I decided to move back. I'm living in Boscobel now, and I've been sewing since I was 5 years old. I love to quilt now, and I'm just making quilts for different charities, and I put my quilts in various quilt shows across the United States. I've been at national and international quilt shows, and sometimes I win some of that prize money. So,
wow, that's awesome. Do you remember the first quilt that you made, Cheryl?
Oh, gosh, I was still in think junior high or grade school, you know, later. But I never even finished that quilt. It was too new, and the geometry part was kind of a little difficult then because we didn't have the rotary cutters and the different tools that we had back then, you know, that we have now today. It's so much easier now, and the techniques that keep coming out, you're just able to quilt a lot faster and a lot more accurate now today than you could years ago. You had to be really skilled back then.
What makes a difference then if you're going to get in the prize money at a national level? I mean, what does it take to make that kind of a quilt?
Oh, a lot of experience. It really takes the experience, and the skill level has to be there. And I do my quilts from start to finish. I design the quilt, sew it, and then I actually quilt my quilt tops all on a domestic sewing machine. I don't use one of those big, long arms. So the craftsmanship is definitely there. A lot of people that see my quilts, they just ooh and awe.
How many are you bringing to the show in Richland Center this weekend?
I haven't even gone through them yet. That's this afternoon, is to empty out the plastic tubs and decide which ones get to go. They've told me I could only have like about 5 large bed quilts. And so that I've kind of figured out, but I've got a lot of wall hangings that will be there. So there'll be quite a few to look at. Believe me, there will be.
Have you been to this show before, Cheryl?
Yes. I've been a member of this guild for about 2 years, and I really enjoy it.
There are a lot of skilled quilters in Southwest Wisconsin, aren't there?
Yes, there are. It's amazing what each one comes up with for ideas and their skill levels. I mean, it's just amazing. It's really worthwhile seeing.
What does it take to wow you, you know, when you're going to look at somebody else's quilt?
Something that's very unique and different. And you'll see that with mine, because I design my own quilt blocks even. And I try to design, I've got my own copyrights on my patterns, and they're very different.
Huh. That's big time. So I never thought about that, making sure that nobody steals your ideas.
Oh, right? Yes. I write my own patterns, and I copyright the patterns. A lot of quilt designers out there these days actually only have the copyright for just the instructions, because a lot of quilt blocks are pretty standard. But I have figured out some quilt blocks that are different and unique that have never been designed before. And it takes a lot of studying the quilt history to figure that out, which I've done. And I've designed some new quilt blocks that have never been designed or done before. And I'm selling those patterns on my website at heartfeltquiltdesign.com.
How do you come up with ideas? I mean, what is the inspiration?
When I was in school, I loved geometry and math. And I just love sitting down and drawing. I mean, I worked for the Shopping News years ago and did a lot of graphic arts. So between the graphic arts and geometry, you just can kind of come up with some different designs. And sometimes they work and sometimes they don't, because it can look really good on paper. But once you sew it, it's like, oh, this isn't going to work at all.
But color has a lot to do with it, too, doesn't it?
Yes. Color and pattern and fabrics. It's amazing what you can come up with for designs. And I'm starting to get into YouTube now, too, to where I'm showing some of those different aspects of quilting and what you can do with color and pattern. And just by cutting the fabric into smaller pieces and then re-sewing it back together, different designs that you can create.
Are you finding that more younger quilters are getting into the crafts or not?
Somewhat. In different areas of the United States, that's very much true. There's a new quilter that's on the international scene that she's in high school yet. She's only 17 years of age, and she's designing clothing that's quilted coats, skirts, and she's phenomenal. she just won Best of Show and got an honorable recognition in Paducah at the International Quilt Show Museum.
That's just some natural talent there, isn't
it? Very much so. Very much so. And she's down in Missouri, this young gal. And I've been talking to her. She's really quite inspirational.
That's interesting. Somebody that young can inspire somebody that's been at it for a few years.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Henricks.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Police in Greater Manchester, England now say at least two people were killed and three others are in serious condition in a car ramming and stabbing outside a synagogue. Esther Aronson was one of those at the synagogue on this Yom Kippur.
Being an auspicious high holy day, we go faster since 6:30 last night. You want to feel secure, you want to be able to go to places and feel that you can just walk around.
The police shot the suspect. It's believed killing him. The king and queen told of the attack today said they were deeply shocked and saddened on such a significant day for the Jewish community. Israeli Navy forces have boarded most of the vessels manned by activists bringing supplies to Gaza. Those on board taken to Israel. It's believed to be deported. Hamas still considering its response to the 20-point peace proposal put forth by the U.S. The federal government still shut down. President Trump says the government could begin firing workers who have been furloughed as soon as today.